Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to News Radio WGNS as we open up the action line this morning. Our special guest, Dr. Mike Courtney. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Chilly, but doing great.
Right. You look out the window, it's a little deceiving. It looks like a nice beautiful day, and then you get out there and it's just a little bit cold.
Oh, so. Yeah. It's pretty chilly.
Happy Valentine's Day to you. We're going to be talking about, and I think this is a pretty topical conversation to have on a day like today. Dr. Mike Courtney from Branches Counseling Center. We're going to be talking about maintaining a happy and healthy relationship. We'll talk about what that is, how to get there if you're not there already, how to maintain that if you're there, and some folks out there listening might be trying to get back to that. So, you know, we'll try to cover the bases there. But first and foremost, I'd just like to ask you, what traits make up a healthy relationship? What kind of things do you see that are a constant and strong relationships?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially on Valentine's Day. This is a day that scares most men to death, by the way. It's like, I was thinking it's like the PE climbing the rope day. You know, no matter how many push-ups you do all year long, if you don't climb the rope, you fail the class. Well, you can be nice all year long and you blow it on Valentine's Day and your wife's going to remember it for a long, long time. Probably the two or three things that jump out to me that you see consistently when you see couples that are doing really well: good, healthy communication, the fact that they can talk to each other in the good stuff and in the bad stuff, to be able to talk through things. I don't know how to do this without talking. So just the ability to communicate well. A sense of play. Couples that can laugh at themselves, that have a sense of humor, that still do fun things. My wife and I have been married 42 years, and in many ways, our life is getting more fun. As we're getting older, there's all kinds of fun things to laugh at. And then finally, some shared sense of purpose. Kids, grandkids, faith, just hobbies or habits that we share together. I think those three things, when you see couples that can talk together, that they laugh, and that they have something in common, you have a pretty good idea that they're gonna do okay. I think that's true for old married couples that have been around a long, long time, or couples that are just starting to date, and they look for those traits in a relationship.
Now, you see people out there and you see a couple, you say these guys have everything in common. Maybe they both like the outdoors and, you know, just right off the bat, they hit it off.
Yeah.
In other relationships, you see maybe they don't start there, but they end there. If you don't have these three things, you mentioned communication, a sense of humor, and, you know, have common likes, have common hobbies. Can you get there if you're not there to start? I mean, if you start off and maybe you have good communication, but some of the things you have in common maybe aren't totally the same. Can you build on that? Can you get there?
Oh, absolutely. I think most of that is kind of learned behavior. Now, you know, some are better at that than others, always. Probably that's also a gender thing. Women tend to be better at communicating. Men tend to be better at that shared activity. So some people are better than others. But if there is that genuine attraction, respect for one another, and that, you know, I don't know what to call it other than that feeling that this is worth investing in, this might be the person for me, then I think those things can be worked on, they can be practiced, they can be learned, and we can help each other in knowing how to get better at those things.
Awesome. Our guest this morning for the Action Line, and we'll be with you here till 9 o'clock until we turn it over to the Truman Show. By the way, live music coming up today for the Truman Show, so stick around for that. But our guest this morning, Dr. Mike Courtney from Branches Counseling Center. Now, he's been kind enough to allow phone calls, text messages, and that. So if you want to join us, 615-893-1450. We'll be here all hour. So if you think of a question or you just want to join the show, if you have a story to share, just give us a call, 615-893-1450. You can also text us, and we'll get those messages over the air that way as well. So we talked about some things that will kind of be a good foundation for a healthy relationship. What are some things that you see maybe that deter you from that? Things that maybe pop up in a relationship, or things that can negatively impact a relationship?
Yeah. Well, that's good. And, you know, it's important to remember that no matter how healthy and good the relationship is, there are times, there are seasons that we go through where there'll be some struggles, there'll be some issues, and at that time, we need to remember the commitment we made to one another, perhaps the commitment we made to God, that we're going to continue to work at this. There's a guy that I really like by the name of John Gottman. Gottman is a a marriage and family counselor, researcher. He's out of the Northwest. And there are some things that he shares that he calls the four horsemen of the apocalypse. When these things are present, then your relationship is in trouble. It's important to watch for these things. One of them is harsh startup. That we, you know, there are times, Nick, to be candid, my wife and I are going through a season where she'll say good morning and it makes me mad. You know, we just don't know how to start a conversation in a positive way. And when we find ourselves locked into that, that everything has a harsh startup, that we start every confrontation, that we start every discussion with attack, with here's what you've always done wrong, then we're in trouble. We need to stop and work on that relationship. Another thing that he talks about is stonewalling. When we don't have any startup at all, when we just put up a stone wall, we refuse to talk about it. My wife says, "Hey, we really need to talk about this," and I say, "No, I'm not going to. I just don't want to talk about this." We get immersed in sports or radio or our job or whatever, and we just build a wall that makes it difficult for us to communicate. That is a sign that the relationship really needs to work on some things. He talks about criticism. When everything becomes criticism, and not just criticizing the activity, the behavior, but criticizing the person. When I began to make personal attacks, when I began to only see the worst, you just did the swap and shop, which is great. I love listening to swap and shop. And the guy had a car for sale, some light body damage. You know, after you've been married for a while, we've all got light body damage. We've all got some things. But when I focus on that, when I see that and that alone, then, you know, then that we're in trouble when that takes place. That leads to contempt, a loss of respect. When my wife and I, over in 42 years, we've had lots of disagreements, lots of harsh startups, lots of criticism. But we maintain a good, healthy respect for one another. When we develop contempt, when we lose respect for one another, then our marriage is in trouble, and we need to stop and work on the relationship.
We talked about a harsh startup, and that's, you mentioned somebody could just wake up and say something as simple as good morning, and
yeah,
that could kind of trigger you. Is it the repetition and just being with somebody for so long? Not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, I think you can get aggravated with anything if you do it every single day. You know, people get aggravated at little things they have to do every day. If you know, your car leaks a little bit of oil and you got to throw a little oil in there, after a while, that's going to drive you nuts. Is that kind of the same thing after just the same thing over and over? Maybe it gets a little, just gets repetitive?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that happens. And, you know, and that's one of the, in my mind, that's one of the great joys. I know we're on Valentine's Day, we're talking about all kinds of relationships, not necessarily just marriages. But one of the joys of long-term marriages is that we have been through those seasons. Quite honestly, the things that endeared me to my wife, endeared her to me early on in our relationship, they became points of contention after a while. You know, my wife's name is Doris. Doris would say, "Hey, can you help me with this? Can you open this ketchup bottle for me as a chance for me to show off my manhood by being able to open the ketchup bottle?" You know, and then we went through a period of time where the fact that she was so helpless, that she just couldn't help herself, and that's just so frustrating. But we know that if we work through that, if we talk through that, if we learn through that, we come out on the other side of that. And those things become, again, things of endearment. I just, you know, that's just one of the quirks of our relationship. I know that Doris is never going to remember her email password, and I've got to keep up with that. So yes, I think repetition, monotony is something that can get in the way in a marriage relationship or in any kind of relationship. But it's also something that when I work through that, man, I built a strength there that just makes the foundation that much stronger for the relationship.
And if you look from the opposite direction, maybe that's something that, you know, she really likes about the marriage, as having somebody who can do these small things, even if those small things maybe get repetitive or over a while maybe become annoying. But for her, those are positives, and those are things that, you know, she'd be very happy to have and thankful. So it kind of goes both ways.
Oh, absolutely. And to tell you the truth, she can open the ketchup bottle better than I can. But she allows me to be engaged, to be involved. She lets me show off. She lets me. So some of this is just an opportunity to connect. Another thing that Gottman talks about that I really like, he talks about bids to connect. That all day long we are making bids to connect. It can be humor. It can be stories. It can be asking for help. It can be observation. My wife says, hey, come look at this squirrel in the backyard. I've been watching this squirrel all day. Well, she's not interested in the squirrel. She's not interested in me looking at the squirrel. She's making a bid to connect. She wants me to connect. And Gottman says, in his research way, he says, if we will turn toward that bid to connect rather than turn away about 3/4 of the time, then our relationship will stay healthy. So when I go through that repetitious, monotonous time and some of those things that have become irritants for me, I recognize them as really just bids to connect. You know what? She's asking me her email password because she's wanting to connect with me. It reimagines, it kind of reframes, we call it in counseling, it reframes that event. And it becomes a real healthy moment to share affection rather than a harsh criticism, rather than a harsh startup.
Dr. Mike Courtney joining us this morning from Branches Counseling Center, and we're going to be taking calls throughout the hour and also text messages. We're going to get into those here in this next segment. We've got a couple that have come up already. So if you want to ask a question or join the show or just have some input, we encourage you to do so. 615-893-1450. You mentioned harsh startup, and then the next part was stonewalling.
Right.
Does one lead to another? Is this kind of a domino effect in a way where one thing might lead to this, might lead to this, might lead to this, and you just kind of got to get a grasp on it before maybe it gets too crazy, and that's where communication maybe would come in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that probably is the case, that that there are there's a frustration level that builds up when, you know, every time we've tried to talk, it's just turned into an argument, or it's become critical, or I felt attacked, until finally one or both partners says, I'm just not going to talk at all. And by the way, a lot of couples live lots and lots of years like this. It's not healthy. It's not fun. But people learn how to adapt to that. So we make a pointed effort. We become intentional about communicating, about talking. And one of the things maybe we can do after a break is to talk about different ways of communicating. That's not always verbal. There's lots of other communication styles and communication types, but we become intentional about that. We say, I am going to work my way through this. I am not going to build up these stone walls that keep us from connecting. If we don't connect, we really don't have a relationship at all. And so it's important to say, I'm not going to allow this to turn into that.
All righty. Well, we're going to answer some questions for you coming up next that have come in on the text line. So we appreciate the input from you. 615-893-1450. Dr. Mike Courtney, our guest this morning. We continue when we come back.
Here at Music World and Drummer's Den, we do our very best to be very price competitive. On most major items, we're matching internet prices and sometimes even better. So if you're looking for great quality at good prices, this is the place to shop. Come by today and join our Play Today music program. We can get you started playing today and ready to go. This is Dave Kivenimi inviting you to come by Music World and Drummer's Den in Murfreesboro across from Indian Hills.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 10 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
I'm Peter Demas, inviting you to eat with our family at Demas's Restaurant. We're seeing a huge number of our customers that are allergic to gluten or at least gluten sensitive, and we've always had a great gluten-free menu, and so we now have gluten-free spaghetti, and many of our sauces are gluten-free. So it's a great place to go if you're gluten sensitive or you have celiac disease and you can't eat gluten at all. This is Peter Demas. Come eat with my family at Demas's Restaurant, Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Skies become mostly sunny this afternoon with a high in the upper 30s. North winds around 5 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 20. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 22.
Good morning. Traffic still moving right now as we check it out live. 24 westbound and through the Hickory Hollow area towards Nashville. Certain sections of Middle Tennessee Boulevard busy out here. No surprise, still see quite a bit of traffic on 231 coming out of Shelbyville up towards I-24. Hey, buying or selling your home, call Nikisha and Tony Tate at Exit Master Realty. The Tate team, that number is 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
We're News Radio WGNS 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio WGNS, and our guest this morning on the Action Line is Dr. Mike Courtney from Branches Counseling Center. And he's been kind enough to answer some questions for us. If you want to text us or give us a call, 615-893-1450 is the number to do so. And we'll be taking phone calls a little later in the hour. But we were going to give this next segment some time to answer some messages that came through on the text line. And if you're ready, we can kind of just jump right in.
Absolutely. That'd be great, Nick.
So the first one here, I think this is, and a couple of these, I thought to myself, you know, he's probably answered this question so many times. but it's dealing with sports. This guy particularly said, big sports fan. Girlfriend, not a sports fan.
Right, right.
And I could imagine that could come to be an issue during Super Bowl Sunday and different times of the year when sports fans are dialed in. Any tips on couples who maybe have different interests, but, you know, we mentioned the communication, sense of humor, have common interests as some strong points, but maybe they're missing that common interests.
I'd say move out to the Pac-12 area where they have terrible sports teams, you know, and then you won't even be a sports fan.
Right.
Yeah, when you're in the SEC, that comes up all the time.
Yes.
I think, you know, and I think that is we could change sports to shopping to yard work to anything. You know, we have interest that if we are not careful, they become, rather than that joint communicative thing, they become a difficulty in the relationship. Here are three things I would suggest. When the sports, it's kind of the issue or whatever that is, we can do one of three things or all three of these things. We can cooperate. I can introduce her to sports. I can make her a part of that. So we're in this together. My wife, quite honestly, watches football games with me, not because she's all that interested, but I have introduced her to it enough that she enjoys being with me and she enjoys kind of that shared. We went to a great MTSU basketball game the other day. She just loved that. Not because she's a great sports fan, but because she wants to cooperate with me. She wants to be a part of that time with me. So that's one thing you can do is just kind of explain the rules, introduce her to it, kind of make her a cooperative buddy in that sports event. The second thing we can do is compromise. We can't cooperate. We can compromise. Hey, how about this? Let me watch the football game this weekend. And when that's over, I know that you really wanted to go to that, you know, new boutique that's open. I'll go with you, you know, and I'll wander around while you look through wade through the clothes and stuff. Shopping for my wife and I, shopping is a sports event for my wife. You know, she can take all day. I go in, I get what I want, I leave. So we can communicate, or we can compromise, we can cooperate. Or the last thing we can do is we can connect. We can recognize that this is, as Gottman said, as we said earlier, that this is one of those bids to connect. And ladies, we're Nick and I are two guys standing here talking about this, but some of the responsibility can fall on you to say, this is a great opportunity for me to be a part of my husband's life, a part of my boyfriend's life. And so let's use this as a chance for us to connect. Let's talk through it. Let's laugh about it. Let's let it become one of those shared events that we have. So I would say cooperate, compromise, and connect. Those three things are important to work towards during the sports season.
My mom had never been a big sports fan, and when she had got remarried to my stepdad, big sports fan. I mean, he bleeds. Right. I don't know if I should say this in the Nashville area, but he's a big Colts fan.
Oh my!
Just a little bit further north. Big Colts fan, and she has kind of adapted to that a little bit. Now she's got a couple Colts shirts she'll wear, you know, she'll go to a game, and you know, she'll kind of do that. But again, he'll do some of the things that she likes, and I think in that you might accidentally fall in love with a new hobby or a new interest.
Absolutely.
You might say, you know what, I used to think this was not for me, but all right, it's pretty darn cool. And, you know, I'm glad that you kind of met in the middle on that. And I think that goes both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, again, that we are doing together. It's that shared value, that shared interest that helps to strengthen the relationship rather than to make it worse.
This next question somebody had brought to me during the week, and this is a little bit more of a serious topic.
Yeah.
But they're asking about couples dealing with substance abuse, particularly a couple who'd been together for a little while, and later on in the relationship, one or the other had developed a substance abuse problem.
Right, right.
Any tips on that? That has got to be one of the toughest things to go through as a couple.
Absolutely, and we do see that an awful lot. Sometimes there was a either a predisposition to some type of addiction or even a hidden addiction that wasn't made known until later in the relationship. Here's an interesting thing that I have seen down through the years. Early 10, 15, 20 years ago, in a wedding ceremony, there was the candle lighting, you know, where the couples, they would both have candles. Sometimes the mothers came in and lit those candles, and the two of them would take those candles, light the marriage, the unity candle, they call it, and then they would blow their candles out. And I remember even as a young counselor watching that and saying, I don't think that's a good idea, because we do continue to be a person. We do continue to have our own lives, to have our own interests, and to have to take care of ourselves in a certain way. So one of the things that happens in a marriage that sounds romantic but it's not healthy is that I lose myself in the other. And so my boyfriend or my wife's addiction becomes my issue. It becomes my problem, and I have to fix this. And when he is staying clean and sober, I feel good about myself. When he is not doing well, then I feel bad about myself. And the first thing that we have to do is let go of that. Say, listen, I love you. You're the most important thing in the world to me, but this is not my problem, and you have got to solve this. So I refuse to take ownership of that addiction. And very often, those people that are involved in substance abuse, that's what they want to do. They want to pass the ownership to someone else so they can be a victim in this. So I refuse to take ownership of it. I put the responsibility where it lies. The second thing, there is a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 where Paul says, speaking the truth in love. The second thing is that we have to tell the truth. We have to speak the truth. That doesn't mean a harsh startup or criticism. It doesn't mean that I'm attacking or there's contempt. But I do say, this is an issue. This is a problem. Well, you know, I'm just a kind of a, every once in a while, I'll just get a little tipsy, drink a little bit too much. No, you're coming home every night and drinking a six pack before you go to bed. You know, on the weekends, you get to the point where you're not even coherent with the children. No, so speaking the truth in love, I have to say, this is absolutely something that has to be dealt with, not as an attack, not as a criticism, but this is an issue in our life and we have to deal with it. And then the third thing, and this might sound like a shameless plug, but it's not, but when there is that kind of third-party attack on the relationship, you need to get professional help. There are some great places in our area, in our community. Journey Pure is here, Cumberland Heights. You need to take someone, and right now we're talking about some kind of chemical abuse. Mm-hmm. There are other things, pornography use, the gambling, non-chemical substance abuses. But you need to take them and say, I'm telling the truth about this. We've got to get help. This is not mine to fix. You have to fix this, but we've got to get help for this.
Thank you. That was a good explanation and a good answer for that.
Good.
And somebody had asked me about that earlier this week, and said if you could throw that in there, that'd be helpful. So I know they're out there listening. This next one I wanted to ask about another question that came in on the text line over break. You see, and it's almost like a reused joke in sitcoms, right? The mother-in-law's coming to town,
and
the guy's hiding in the garage, and hey, I need you to come out, and no, I'm busy, you know. So what do you say? If somebody's in a relationship, particularly marriage at this point,
right,
and they just can't stand the mom and the dad, the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, there's an issue there, and maybe from your spouse's perspective, it says, well, you're the love of my life, but these are my parents,
right,
and
right,
you really want them to get along, but if they don't, what are some tips on that to maybe mend that relationship? And like I said, you see it in sitcoms all the time as a joke, but it's a serious problem in
sure.
people's lives for real. So what would you say for that?
Well, I would say good luck. No, and that when we do premarital counseling, which we do a lot at Branches, I'll spend one session with couples who are considering a deeper relationship, considering marriage, talking about what I call in-laws and outlaws. I mean, just that whole relationship. You don't marry just that girl that you're sitting beside. You marry her brothers and sisters, you marry her parents, you marry her friends.
Mm-hmm.
We marry into lots of different relationships. Probably the first step in all of that, again, and I know this keeps coming up over and over and over again, but is good, healthy communication, is talking about it, being willing to name the problem, being willing to say, look, I know this is your parents, but every time they come over, your mother gets on me about my job. She doesn't respect me. So being willing to talk about it, say this is an issue, and let's approach this as a team. Let's don't let this divide us. But as a team, let's figure out ways that we can do better at this. Once we've communicated about it, once we've been willing to talk about it, the second step is to set healthy boundaries, to make sure we have healthy boundaries in place. My wife's parents are both deceased now, but they were wonderful people. We had a great relationship with them. I was grateful for my father-in-law, grateful for my mother-in-law. I don't want my mother-in-law in the kitchen every time I came home from work.
Mm.
I don't want my father-in-law sitting on the couch every weekend. And so good, healthy boundaries. What can we agree on that would be a healthy relationship to have? And so we establish those boundaries and make sure that we agree on them as a couple. We've talked through them. And then we practice forgiveness. You know, we just forgive a lot. Mother-in-law jokes are there for a reason, because mother-in-laws can be mother-in-laws sometimes, and not in a mean way, but sometimes they say things, sometimes they intrude. So we practice forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
We are not perfect people. I'm not perfect. My wife's not perfect. Her parents weren't perfect. My parents weren't perfect. So we practice forgiveness over and over again. I will say that it is an opportunity. We've talked about reframing, Nick. It's an opportunity for me to express love and affection to my wife in ways that nothing else can. My wife's family was from Middle Tennessee. They were farmers in Gallatin, and we would go there and have long conversations about how much hay they were going to put up and when to plant the potatoes, things that I have absolutely no interest in. But early in my marriage, I said, you know what? I will never be the one to say, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I will never be the one to leave. And that went on for years. And finally, my wife said to me one time, you know, one of the most loving things that you do is you sit and listen to your mother-in-law. You sit and talk to your father-in-law. And I know you do that because you love me. So see it as an opportunity to express love and affection to your partner.
And showing that sacrifice, whether big or small, can positively reflect the way that they might handle something.
Oh,
you mentioned
absolutely.
Somebody not wanting to watch a sports game with their husband, but in the same sense, if the husband will go shopping the next weekend, say, okay, you're giving a little bit, I'm giving a little bit, let's meet in the middle on this. And again, that falls back on communication, like you said.
Absolutely. Being willing to talk about it is crucial. Yeah,
we'd have one more text question here, then we're going to take a quick time out.
Sure.
And if anybody would like to call, join the show, 615-893-1450. They're talking about mending a broken relationship,
yeah.
particularly if somebody had been cheating or something in that realm. Maybe not even fully cheating, but showing disinterest, or right. maybe talking and talking to someone they shouldn't be. Any tips there? Again, that's got to be one that you hear a lot, and it's just really tough to kind of get a handle on that.
Well, it is. Let me say that one thing is important to know. It doesn't have to be the end of the relationship. It doesn't mean that that there's no hope for this. In fact, my oldest son was playing basketball when he was in the, I think, seventh grade, playing basketball for his middle school team. And he went up for a layup. Somebody undercut him. He fell and broke his arm. His senior year of high school, he's playing here at MTCS. Senior of high school, went up for a layup. Somebody undercut him. He fell and broke his arm. We took him to the doctor, and I said, I can't believe he broke his arm in the same place. The doctor said, no, he didn't break his arm in the same place. It was someplace different, because where that break was, that bone is actually stronger. It mended stronger. And so we can go through very difficult things and actually come out stronger for it. So I would say this doesn't have to be the end of the relationship. However, there are three or four things that I think are very important. First of all, I have to stop the behavior. And so we have to make sure whatever that thing is that is creating a division in us, that has brought about a broken heart, that stopped. We can't, we're not supposed to be doormats where we continue to be walked on over and over and over again. So stop the behavior. The second thing is to understand it as best we possibly can. We may never fully understand. But why did you develop that interest with that person at the office? What was there in our relationship that perhaps was lacking? What are you looking for that is outside of the bounds of marriage? Where I'm thinking now about infidelity or cheating in a relationship. So stop the behavior, understand it as best we can. The third thing is to fix it. Just because I grit my teeth and say I'm not going to abuse this substance anymore, or I'm not going to just watch football games all the time, or I'm not going to continue in this inappropriate relationship, doesn't mean that I fix the underlying cause. And so I work hard to fix that. How can we communicate better? How can we develop good love maps and understand each other better? So we stop it, we understand it, we use it, or we fix it. And then the last thing is we use it. We use it to strengthen our relationship. We use it to remember why we love each other so much, why this person is so important to me. I set beside my wife all the mistakes I've made. I set beside my wife and I say, wow, she is still here. After all this, she's still. And so I use the difficult times we've been through to make our relationship even stronger.
Would you agree that mostly any couple out there, it's like when people say if you don't have skeletons in your closet, you're lying, that sort of thing. Do you think all couples, for the most part, I mean, is there anybody out there that's got that perfect relationship? Everybody goes through problems, right?
Yeah. Well, there was one guy that had no skeletons in his closet, and they crucified him. So I think, right. Yeah, we pretty much all have stuff that we're dealing with. We all have a story.
Dr. Mike Courtney, our guest this morning from Branches Counseling Center. We're going to continue this conversation on the other end of the break, and we do have time to take some calls now for the final couple minutes. We did get a couple more questions come through the text line. We're going to do our best to get those answered for you as well. We'll be right back.
Back pain, neck pain, hip pain? Fix the pain at Star Physical Therapy on Rutherford Boulevard next to Nachos.
Low back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain can be treated by a physical therapist without a doctor's referral.
Star Physical Therapy on Rutherford Boulevard next to Nachos.
The Daikin Fit from Precision Air for your home's heating and air system. No money down and financing starting as low as $89 a month. Call Precision Air, 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com.
Here's another reason to bank with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you have an elite checking account with First National Bank of Murfreesboro, you get discounts when you shop at over 360 local businesses, plus $10,000 accidental death insurance. All of the benefits from elite checking add up. I'm Ellie Byers, inviting you to step up your service and switch to the bank Murfreesboro calls first. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
Welcome back, and we got about 10 minutes here left in the show. If you'd like to call us or ask any questions via the phone line, we've been a little bit shy this morning. Lots of text message questions coming in. We're going to do our best to get a handle on all of those, but if you'd like to call the show and share a story, ask a question, Dr. Mike Courtney has been kind enough to allow phone calls this morning, 615-893-1450. We can kind of get things started. We were talking off the air on this last break here, and everybody, for the most part, has had the experience where you see a grandma and a grandpa or an older couple, and maybe they bicker and they fight, and it's almost comical at that age when they get into their 70s and 80s. I know my grandma and grandpa, when I see them, they bicker, but it's not the kind of fight that maybe leads to more fighting. It's kind of a short thing, and maybe they bicker for a few minutes, and then they laugh it off, and they kiss, and they go, you know, watch a movie. Would you agree that if you can maybe find that sort of model, an older couple that's been married for that long, that's right, a pretty good standard to set your sights on as far as how to be successful in a relationship. I mentioned they have the sense of humor. They laugh at each other, right? My grandma, my grandpa's got shirts he's had for 30 years, and my grandma's been trying to throw away for 30 years. And he pulls them out of the garbage and cleans them and wears them, and they just laugh about it.
Right.
She may burn his toast every morning for breakfast, but he doesn't even care. They've been married for 50, 60 years. Things like that. Those are some of the things you're talking about that might get on people's nerves, but when you're married for that long, it kind of just goes to the wayside. Is that something that a younger couple or a beginning couple can maybe structure and look at and say, let's try that? I'm not going to let the little things bother me.
Good.
Let's focus on what's important. We have each other. We can laugh. We can spend time with one another. What would your thoughts be on that?
Oh, I think that's a great model for you to have, first of all, Nick. What a wonderful thing. And yes, that is the goal. You know, we get married for, someone said you actually marry three people. You marry the person that you think he or she is. You marry the person that he or she really is. And then you marry the person that he or she is going to become because they're married to you. We get married for one reason. We probably stay together for another reason. But when we have been in that relationship for a long time, we see things, we learn things, we enjoy things that we never would have enjoyed had we not been committed to that long time relationship. I think there's two or three things that takes. One is just is the commitment to stay with it. My wife and I have been married 42 years. Someone said, "Well, how'd you stay married that long?" I said, "We never got a divorce." You know, there were lots of times where we didn't like each other. There were lots of times, not my wife, she's always been perfect, but lots of times where I was a dummy. But we never quit. We stayed with it. Now I know she's listening, so sweetheart, forgive me for saying this part. She has some wrinkles that she didn't have when we were dating 45 years ago. But you know what, Nick? I put every single wrinkle there. I know the stories behind those. Mm. I know the difficult things we went. I know the struggles raising our kids. I know the financial loss. I know the reason for every one of those wrinkles. And so they are precious to me. They're important to me. And I think holding on to that and desiring that is absolutely crucial. And so, yeah, people don't communicate just the same way. They don't connect just the same way. But when you see a couple that's been there for a long, long time, it's because somewhere along the way they made up their mind, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm after. I met with a couple not long ago, and they'd been married about 20 years. I think they were in their mid-40s, and they were struggling. And I said, you know, let's just suppose that you get a divorce tomorrow and the next day you find somebody else to marry and you get married. Mm-hmm. You will be 65 years old before you know that person as well as you know this person. I've got a lot invested. After 42 years, I have a lot invested in my relationship with my wife, and I know her and I connect with her in a way that I will never connect with another human being again. So just determining to stay with it is absolutely vital.
And you'd mentioned earlier in the hour the broken bone reference about, you know, when it breaks, it grows back stronger.
Yeah.
Does that play into somebody that's been married 42, 52, 62 years when they get to that point where you say this marriage is almost indestructible?
Yes.
Almost anything could happen, and they're just going to smile, and 5 minutes later they're not going to care. That's kind of what you see in those couples that have been together for so long, and that's, you know, what a lot of people want. Is it because they've had hiccups down the way, whether it be big or small, and all of those combined just kind of made that relationship rock solid. You mentioned sometimes the breaks make you stronger.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We have gotten stronger because we've learned some things. We know how to do things better. We're also stronger because, you know, we know this is not that big a deal. I've survived this before. It's why, you know, back to sports again, it's why you see the teams that have been there. They've won lots of games. They've had winning seasons over and over and over again. When they go through some kind of adversity in the middle of the game, they don't panic. They don't throw up their hands and quit because, hey, we've been here before. We've come from behind. We've had fourth quarter wins, and we know we can do this. Well, when you've been with that person long enough, you can say, we have fought bigger battles than this before, and we've come through okay. So I think all of those things help to make the relationship stronger. And then, quite honestly, we just don't take ourselves as serious. We just learn to laugh at ourselves. My wife said the other day, said, honey, let's run upstairs and make love. And I say, baby, I can do one or the other. I can't do both. At my age, you can't do both. So you make up your mind.
like compromise, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
We did have one more question that came in. I wanted to get to this, and then we got about 3 or 4 minutes.
Sure.
As your time with branches and dealing with these types of things, probably something that's changed, I would imagine, is the online dating community. That's something that's fairly newer. What are your thoughts on that? What kind of things have you seen now that that's so popular? It seems like, I mean, even the NBA teams with their logos, even some of those guys, their logos are the dating app.
Right, right.
Highly popular.
Yeah.
All over the world. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, you know what? I think like any technology, it has its good side and its bad side. Early on, that seemed unusual, that seems strange, but actually I find out that it can actually make for a stronger relationship. Couples now seem, they know each other better, it seems like. They know more about each other. They've been matched, you know, by match.com or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are a lot of things about that can make it, that can allow for a healthier startup to relationship. I do think it's important to know that just as we have a online health now that I can go to a nurse and ask questions, but every once in a while I need my doctor to see me. I want to see face to face. So it is important to recognize that there are some things that physical touch and eye to eye conversation and knee to knee talks, nothing can take the place of that. So I'm not against that. I think it can make for wonderful relationships. Certainly makes for great stories. Mm-hmm. But it's not the end all. There's still that human component. And Valentine's Day is a great day to remember that. You know, I'm not going to send my wife an email. I'm going to take her a box of chocolates.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for answering a lot of these questions. Some have been a little lighter topics, some of them a little bit heavier, and you've done a good job and just answered them all. And I'm sure the listeners thank you out there in Radio World who've been listening, as a lot of these questions, most of which were sent in this morning or throughout the week. Any final thoughts? We got about a minute to wrap up, and if you would like to let folks know where they could reach out to you personally if they're looking for any kind of help.
Sure. I'm proud of Branches. We've been around for 13 years in the community now. We have an office in Shelbyville. We have an office in Mount Juliet. Our main office is here in Murfreesboro. We have about 25 therapists and see 1,800 people a month. Our phone number is 615-904-7170, and we deal with everything, not just relationships, but depression, anxiety. We do med management. We do weight loss counseling. So I'm proud of Branches and what we have accomplished. I would just say something I say to couples a lot. Your children will grow up and leave you. Your parents will die and leave you. And someday you're only going to be left with that person that's sitting beside you right now. So work on that. Be intentional about that. Focus on that. And you can have a relationship that you never imagined 50, 60, 70 years down the road.
Awesome. Dr. Mike Courtney, thank you so much for your time this morning with Branches Counseling Center. 1,800 people a month. That is incredible. That's a large number, by the way. That kind of stood out to me. So
yeah.
Everybody's got their issues and their hiccups. So reach out if you need help with that. And like you mentioned, it's worth investing in.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
All righty. Well, thank you so much. We're going to head over to the Truman Show here in just a few minutes. We got a quick news break for you as well. They got some live music coming up for you guys. So do not go away. Don't touch that dial. We're going to have some fun next hour. And we'll be back. Thank you so much. Ooh.
Radio, WGNS. Putting the power of your free speech into action. On air and online at WGNSradio.com. We're your local sports connection. Brian Barrett and John Dinkins take you to the games on WGNS, AM, FM, online. News Radio, WGNS, Murfreesboro, the voice of Rutherford County, and the flagship station for Blue Raiders sports. The courthouse clock shows it's 9 o'clock. From the WGNSradio.com News Center, a local news update with Ron Jordan.
Several Rutherford County roads are either water covered or closed. Head on over to our website, WGNSradio.com.